This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooliga Church of Christ in Ooliga, Oklahoma. And welcome back to Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. With me, as always, is Brother Matt Olson from the Chippin' Rural Congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri. Myself, Russ Earl from the Ooliga Church of Christ here in Ooliga, Oklahoma. Glad to be back here with you after a break due to some sickness and also no doubt some traveling as well. But our lesson today is focusing on happiness. And of course, if you take much time looking at the news, you know there's plenty of reasons for us to find something else to occupy our time that will help us have a better attitude and help us be able to enjoy life. And the news is definitely not a source for that. If you look at Proverbs chapter 17, Proverbs 17 and verse 22, the Bible says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." And all these ideas are derived from a lesson I did called Be Happy, which, if we're honest, that's a lot easier said than done, to be happy. But it's interesting to notice here in verse 22, he says, "A merry heart does good." And then he says, "like medicine." There was a movie years ago, it's called Patch Adams. I don't advocate watching it because it's been a long time since I've seen it. And so if you do, you probably want to use VidAngel or something. But this doctor, he's played by, I think, Robin Williams. Anyway, one of his big things that he believed in was putting forth positive, positivity to his patients. And he would go to different patients and visit with them. He'd go and crack jokes and do little magic shows and things like that, because he believed that those who had a better outlook on life and more positive, that they actually would yield better results. And he had some things that would help, go along with that and prove his point. And I think, really, if you think about that, there's a lot to that. When you look here in verse 22, he says that a merry heart is like medicine. And then he compares the other side of it. He says, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And I think about those who go through difficult times, and you always have two different people. And I think about two different individuals. One who I knew who was very, very down, very, very negative about their situation. And if I remember correctly, when they became sick with whatever ailment it was, they really didn't last that long. Now, it could have been because of the severity of it or something like that. But then I also think about this other gentleman who had an entirely different outlook on life. He was, trying to make the best of it, trying to be positive about it, knew the situation was serious, but his outlook was totally different. And what was interesting was not only did he cope with that better, but also those who came and visited him, including his family and things, also were encouraged by that. And so we think about happiness and this idea of trying to be happy and not be negative. It does affect others. I can definitely be a very negative person. People do things that irritate me and it upsets me, and whether you're talking about on television or something else. But it's hard to overcome that sometimes. I think, and this is the last point I make before I be quiet, that mass talk here. I think we have to realize that it really is an effort. It is a determined, logical, on-purpose effort to try to be happier people. And again, I don't say that as if I'm the happiest person on the planet, as I sit here and talking with a voice that's not my own, as it sounds, recovering from the sickness. But we have to try to be happier. It is a determined effort. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes I will catch myself being negative or getting irritated by something. And we have to do our best to not allow ourselves to be negative. It doesn't mean we are not realistic, but we have to be careful about becoming overly negative, definitely. So I'm going to stop there and let Brother Matt add anything he'd like as we continue looking at this idea of being happy.
Yeah, I love that Proverbs 17:22. Merry heart does good like medicine. Like medicine, right? We think of back in the day, like in God's term, or when God made the earth, he made everything for us to use, right? And he made our hearts to be cheerful and joyful for every situation. And like you said, is when you're around somebody who's sick and they're, like you said, maybe ungrateful or just kind of like a Debbie Downer, as they say, or you, you can see that their whole demeanor and their whole life is just starting to go slowly down. But like you said, like that Patch Adams movie is, you know, when you're happy, there's endorphins that flow through your body that like help with blood flow and, you know, just make you want to go get out and do things and go and go, even if you're feeling sick, but you're still thankful. Like through this, we've had to quarantine through some things that come up, COVID situations, different things and sicknesses. But you look at, yeah, you can get down and out and you can be like, man, this really stinks. You know, I take it as a blessing, man. I'm home with my family. You know, I mean, we can go for walks here and there. We can get out in nature. You know, I mean, we don't have to be around people. No, we don't. But another verse I want to bring up, too, was Psalms 1:1-2. It says, blessed is a man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. So if we meditate daily on God's word, are we going to be happy? Or are we going to be sad? You know, I mean, yeah, there's things in the Bible you can read that you're like, oh, wait, that doesn't sound good. But then there's so much more that you can be joyful of, you know, and the second part of that verse, but a broken spirit dries bones. We talked about that when you're feeling like down and out, and you know, just say you're going through the day and you don't have any sickness or anything, but you start feeling doubt and dread. And how do you start feeling? You start feeling bad. So I think one thing we need to do is just be cheerful and mindful, you know. Like Proverbs 15:13 also says, make a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. What's a cheerful countenance? Be mindful of the things. Be cheerful for the day that you're in, right? I mean, every day's a blessing, guys. So,
you know, we also think about Proverbs 15. And this verse, Proverbs 15:15, I've actually kind of split this up between our first point we're looking at today and then what we'll look at next week. But in Proverbs 15, the first part of verse 15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. And the afflicted are those who are, you know, affliction could be, they're afflicted because of persecution, they're afflicted because of illness, afflicted for various reasons. And he says, are evil. And I think of it this way, that they're difficult, they're hard, they're painful. Not evil as if there's something wrong, but evil as if they're just so difficult to overcome when you're facing those things. Because if you look at the latter part of verse 15, I don't want to talk too much about it because we'll be looking at it next time, but he says, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And so he's making a comparison again here in Proverbs 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil. That is, they're difficult, they're hard to endure those things. You know, when difficult times come, whether it be sickness that's highly irritating, whether it's be something else that's going on, you know, think of it this way. Probably each of us have, to some degree, a schedule we keep every day. And if something happens unexpectedly that ruins it, it can be a little irritating. But when it does it for an entire week, it's highly irritating. I can tell you that. It's highly irritating when, you know, it throws off schedules, it throws off podcasts, it throws off, you know, preaching and teaching, all these things, because there's something that really you have to just wait for it to finish whatever it's doing so you can get back to your normal activities. And in Proverbs 15, that's the idea I think of here. All the days of the afflicted are evil. They're painful, they're frustrating, they're difficult. But then also think about Matthew 6 and verse 25, where we know this is addressing really complaining. But sometimes these things aren't just things that we worry about, or it's addressing worry. But, you know, sometimes these things aren't just things that we're worried about, but they're also complaints. Sometimes we don't just worry about clothing or worry about food or worry about shelter. We're complaining about food, or we're complaining about clothing, or we're complaining about shelter. We're complaining because the food isn't what we want it to be. For instance, my wife went to a restaurant the other day, went to a fast food restaurant here to get something for us. And she said, you should be glad I stopped to check your order, because your hamburger didn't have a patty. It's just a bun and lettuce. Well, I'm not vegetarian or whatever it is. And so I'm glad she checked it and got the meat put in there for me. And I just said, wow, really? That's pretty bad, because, you know, it's a hamburger place. But anyway, those are things that can cause us to complain. And we can joke around about it. I think really that's what we're getting back to, is making the best of every situation. Complaining is negative, and negativity does not produce happiness. It's hard to be happy when you're complaining the whole entire time. And again, I could teach a class on how to complain. I'm pretty good at it. But we want to strive to be better. That's what I think about all the time, is trying to be better tomorrow than I was today. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 6, he says, "For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity." The laughter of the fool is, a fool is someone who's ignorant, who's foolish, who's Strong says is even stupid or silly. And so there are those today who are no doubt very selfish. I think when we think about the lack of happiness, it's because we become so selfish and we don't find joys in things. Like Brother Matt was mentioning earlier, going out with, walking with your family and spending time with your family that otherwise maybe you wouldn't get to. If you weren't quarantined, you'd have to be maybe in office or some other job site doing something. And this allows you to do something different, allows you to be home more, be home quicker, whatever the case may be. And so we have to make the very best out of every situation. Bitter selfishness is being hateful and rude to others, especially when things don't go our way. If something doesn't go right, it's easy for us to get upset about it. We complain, we vent. My wife hears me vent. Sometimes she tells me, okay, that's enough. And rightfully so. But we have to make sure we keep those things in check. It's not always selfish to pursue what you think is right or necessary, but sometimes it can certainly be selfish. It's not selfish to pursue truth and honesty and pursue the gospel being presented in the right way, those types of things. But it is selfish if the right way is done not in – sometimes people think when they talk about the truth, they don't think necessarily of the truth being presented. They think of it being presented in the format or in the style which they think it should be done. And there is a difference between that. When we try to make format and style the law, that's when selfishness comes up and bitterness and then strife and then everyone's unhappy. And one last thing I want to look at for here before I be quiet again, but Esther chapter 5, verses 12 through 14 says, "Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her along with the king." Now, Haman is a very proud man, very, very arrogant man. In fact, we covered this book a couple months ago on a Sunday morning. And what he was doing here is he's boasting, saying, "Look, no one's been invited to be with the king and queen except for me." In verse 13, he says, "Yeah, all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting at the king's gate." Again, what is that? That's his selfishness. He won't be happy unless he sees what? Mordecai dead. Verse 14, "Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, 'Let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and in the morning suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet.' And the thing pleased Haman, so he had a gallows made." Well, what happened? He was not happy. He was arrogant. He was proud. He was bitter. He wanted his way. And as he says in verse 13, he wouldn't be happy. He says, "Yet all this avails me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's table." It means Mordecai has to die in order for me to be happy. Mm-hmm. Well, if we know much about Esther, we know that it wasn't Mordecai he swung from the gallows. It was, in fact, Haman himself. But what really drove that to that point was Haman's bitterness and happiness and arrogance. All those things are the counterpart of being happy and being content. He got his feelers hurt, as we say sometimes, early on with Mordecai, because Mordecai didn't kiss his hand and pay him homage, which actually is the idea of worship. And Mordecai wouldn't do that. And so Haman basically just kind of snapped because he wasn't happy with everyone else doing it. He wanted Mordecai to do it too. So I'm going to stop there for just a moment. And then Brother Matt, add anything you like as we continue looking at being happy.
Yeah, like you talked about, negativity prevents happiness back in Matthew 6:25. I like that little thing you said, not worrying but complaining, basically. And because of the ill effects of worry, doesn't Jesus tell us to worry about those things? Tells us not to worry about the things that God promises to supply, right? God's going to supply everything. But where we take it is we always think, well, Russ, well, you got a better bonus than I did. Or, you know, this person got a better this than this. And, you know, we turn that positive into a negative. It's like, hey, get off your duff and do something about it. You know, I mean, we prevent our own happiness most times is because we get down and out. We think about our monetary things or, oh, we're sick and we can't get up and do things or we can't go out and, you know, maybe evangelize or because we're stuck in quarantine. Hey, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's so many levels that you can go to. And also too, you talked in Ecclesiastes 7:6 was vanity. That's all Ecclesiastes basically talks about is, you know, Solomon talking about vanity. You know, vanity is, yeah, that's all he gained was vanity throughout his life. Was he kept searching and searching for those things. And what we need to, our happiness should revolve around God. Number one, that should be the main thing. But a quote that I always like to say is, you know, if you're around negativity is misery loves company. You ever heard that? I mean, you know, misery always wants to bring somebody with him. Satan doesn't want to be alone in hell, right? He wants to bring as many people with him as he can. So he's going to turn all the positive things that are going in your life into negative. Well, you know, hey, man, I'm at home. Yeah, but you're sick. Hey, I'm at home. Yeah, but you can't go nowhere. You know, I'm home, man. I love being home, you know. You know, I love being with my wife and my kids. And though we're quarantined and though it may stink, but, hey, man, you got to find the good out of the bad, you know. And one thing that I like is James 1, and I'll turn to that real quick, James 1. That way I don't mess it up. 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. A lot of things, too, is our happiness, it kind of resolves, too, around patience, being patient for things to happen, not overstepping our boundary or overstepping, hey, you know, maybe God's given us a winding road instead of straight through the mountain. You know, I mean, we just have to learn to be happy in all things. So,
you know, I think about Israel. We talk about people complaining. And I think many times we as Christians forget to count our blessings and we'll find a lot less things to complain about. Mm-hmm. And I think about Numbers chapter 11 when they were complaining about, you know, not having only the manna to eat, and they began to cry out for quail. And we find in Numbers chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says, a wind went out from the Lord and brought quail from the sea and left them floating near the camp about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, and all around the camp and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. You know, notice there, it doesn't give you the number of quail. It just tells you how far around they were and how basically how tall they were, how the mass, yeah. You get the idea of them covering it up there. And you look at verse 32, it says, the people stayed up all that day, all night, and all the next day and gathered the quail. Now, Israel was no small amount of people, and they stayed up a day, a night, and a day gathering quail. That is a lot of bird. And yeah. Yet, if you keep reading, in verse 33, the very next thing you read about them is they're eating the meat. They don't even stop to thank God. And in verse 33, it happens. The Lord struck the people with a very great plague. Because why? The meat was still in their between their teeth before it was chewed, and the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people. So they treated God as if, I think about this. They demand quail. God gives it to them. They don't say thank you, which to me says, yes, God, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what we are owed. This is what, you know, we deserve this. And so we're going to go out and gather it. And this is just how it's going to be. And in verse 33, God reminds him with that plague, no, this is not how it works after all. And so he instead strikes him with a quail. But what's interesting is if they would just have a proper attitude, things would have been a whole lot different. Both of them went to Moses and asked and said, you know, could you please pray to God that maybe we might have something else besides just the manna? If they could ask the same question, but their attitude was different, the response could have been a whole lot different. If you're eating quail, it's a bony little bird. And, you know, I've had it before. It's good, but, I mean, you have to work for it. And, you know, what if you sent them something else that wasn't quite so bony, something else that maybe would have so much work? Yeah. I mean, instead of putting it a day's journey, he could have put it at their footstep. If their attitude was different, anything was possible. But instead, he sends them quail. He sends it a massive amount. They don't give any kind of thank you. In verse 33, they pay the price for it because they weren't happy people. I think a lot of their complaining was because they weren't happy, and they weren't happy because they weren't even really, in my mind, noticing what was going on in the first place. I mean, keep in mind, God was already leading them by day and by night, already feeding them miraculously, already giving them water miraculously, and they're still complaining. They were not happy people, so we can learn from them that we don't want to follow that example.
Yeah, exactly. We definitely do not. One thing is, too, though, is like you said, is we fall into that trap daily, too. You know, sometimes we don't thank God. We're just like, oh, it's expected. Yeah. We think, oh, yeah, we're expected this. Yeah. We deserve this, you know. But we need to stop and give all glory to God. You know, give him the glory. Don't put it all on our shoulders, because that will definitely not make you happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Well, we're going to stop there today. I do thank you for being here with us on Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word. And when we come back next week, we'll continue looking at this topic of being happy. And so we'll hope to see you again next time. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Wave Media by visiting us at BibleWaveMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.